In week 6 of The Bachelorette, a second dose of Minnesota sees the baby calves choose Joe and the children choose Clayton before the clock strikes midnight on his night at the museum date and tournament run, while Brendan was left wishing he could have chosen a different time, place, and bathing suit to meet Michelle's parents. And in the end, Michelle chose Rodney, Brandon, Nate, and Joe as her final four. Which of these players will parlay hometown success into fantasy suite room keys, and which ones will end up having to stay home? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally, coming at you from deep in the heart of Hollywood. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. I just want to note really quick, I never clocked the fact that you said deep in the heart of Hollywood as if this is like some kind of prairie town.
Yeah, you got to go through a line of forest to find your way here.
Deep in the heart of Hollywood.
Yeah. We are, though.
We're Christopher Robin
this
plays.
Is sort of the middle of it. I mean, no, I think like 8 blocks west of here is the deep of the heart of Hollywood, like where the Spider-Man is.
Right, yeah. I guess wherever Spider-Man is, that is the heart of Hollywood.
Yeah. Where the characters do the stuff on
the
show.
Okay, so like in the lungs of Hollywood.
Sure. The liver of Hollywood, yeah.
Well, wherever we are, we got Zachary Pike, and we also got Daniel A. Duddy.
I consider myself the lungs of Hollywood in and of myself.
It's your nickname?
The blowhard of Hollywood.
Yeah, that checks out.
Very competitive night for, with men vying for Michelle's heart. Let's get right into it with our headlines brought to you by Woodbury Elementary Date Planning, where a kid can be the adult for you. So, Michelle's final four now set. The AP polls have Rodney at that puncher's chance fourth spot. Joe and Nate remain at 1 and 2, respectively. But the big story from last night is Brandon, who, with every passing week, looks more and more capable of giving Joe and Nate a run for their money, especially now on the heels of this killer one-on-one date that he had last night, which included meeting Michelle's parents and going to the smoocheria in her childhood jacuzzi. So, guys, is it possible that Brandon is the one out of these four with the most momentum right now? And has he entered that upper echelon with Joe and Nate?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Look, I've been calling for Brandon to rise in the AP polls all season long. And all season long, he's been disrespected. Until now, I bet he's probably top three. But now, I actually think he put in a road performance.
Really?
Yeah. I actually think... Look, okay. I think it was very sweet of him, right? I think there's some, maybe road is a little bit harsh. There's some serious chemistry there, but we heard a lot of friend bombs, right? It was all, oh, Brendan's someone who's a friend. And yes, you want your partner to be a best friend.
That's what I was going to say. There's a huge difference when you put best in front of that. And when it just came from Ephraim and Levon, and by the way, I've been calling her Barbara this entire year. Her name's actually LaVon, it turns out. So, sorry to LaVon.
Well, our bad.
Yeah, egg on my face.
But here's where I think it's a road performance. I think he asking for their, you know, the blessing that quickly, right? I feel like that was, I you know what? Look, traditions, they might mean something in some ways, right? But sometimes traditions have to go. You know, they're the Cleveland Guardians now, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't need to ask for the blessing if no one else cares.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're setting yourself up. You're drawing too big a contrast for what Michelle wants in a lifelong partner. And I think that's someone who kind of is more on the same page with her values, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was underwhelming for me.
I agree with you, Daddy, but for different reasons. My reason is more like kind of a simple scheduling thing, because I thought everyone was kind of shocked when this thing happened. I knew when they went to her childhood home that the parents were going to show up. As soon as she said, my parents aren't home, I'm like, oh, they're going to do a dumb bit where their parents just catch them in the act or something.
And they did.
They did. Having Ephraim and the lady who looks like Barbara.
The artist formerly known as Barbara,
Laverne, coming in that way. I knew as soon as that moment happened, I'm like, oh, they're not going to do this again, right? They're not going to have this moment again where he has to ask for permission again, or ask for their blessing again, which would normally be what happens 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now that that's not going to happen, I think they know that that's not going to happen. And I would go so far to say it was sort of a death knell for him. This sounds crazy, I think. I think a lot of people are going to say, man, Zach and Duddy have, have totally jumped the shark. But I think it's a gut thing, just like how what's her name had with Martin. Like, it's just a gut feeling. I don't like this situation, and I think it's not going to go all the way for some reason. It's, I know we dropped an L-bomb. I know Wally's going to try to defend his case right now, but
oh, dude.
I get to see him chomping at the bit. But
I have one more point, because I think my last point sucked. And because we definitely did jump the shark, but what I do think that what was Zach, you brought up the L bombs. He dropped a big old fat stinky L bomb on her,
mm-hmm.
and she just looked at him.
Yep,
she just looked at him. There was another L bomb dropped on this episode, and she emphatically returned it
with Nate. That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't actually use the L word, but she reciprocated it more. She said, I'm feeling very strongly for you as well. And she didn't.
Before you try to flip out, Wally, I'm going to just answer your question. Why? As no, it's still the Nate and Joe show.
Mm-hmm.
We should never let Wally talk.
Yeah. This is the rest of the episode. Let's just box him out.
I'm just going to chug my Coke.
Yeah. Just going to box him out while he sips his
McDonald's.
You guys
McDonald's let me know when you need me.
Yeah. Just box him out, Duddy. Whatever. How was your day? No, you know what I mean, though? Nate and Joe are still the front runners.
So you still see it as a two-horse race.
I think, you know what sailed it for me, too, and we might talk about this more later, is the fact that Rodney's there. The fact that, like, who got cut this week and who's still remaining and how she didn't do the cocktail party and all that and the way that she cut people and the people she left around. Olu got cut after what he pulled this week and all that. Like, I think she just knows it's going to be Nate and Joe, and she just decided to keep around the two guys who she's most comfortable with in the friend zone, who she thinks will be a fun hometown.
For once, Zach, I'm with you. We're synchronized swimming right now.
I love it.
Well, I agree with you guys that the practice of asking for the blessing, I think it's outdated personally. It's kind of archaic. Especially since it stems from back when marriage was a transactional thing, when the father would sell the daughter off to the guy. It stems from that. If it's important to you, which it seems like it was to Brandon, that was the time to do it, because tomorrow is never guaranteed in this tournament.
Yeah, or life.
Or in love. But what sticks out to me is the fact that he was able to pull that off. That to me is what's important. He went from being caught in the hot tub in her father's bathing suit. And that's not a small deal. That's his boys were swimming where Ephraim's boys had swum in the past. Like, that's an intimate thing. Like, it's not borrowing a pair of shorts or a pair of pants. Like, that's very awkward to get caught like that. And within a matter of an hour, he goes from that very awkward situation to having a solid conversation where they were clearly, whether you like it or not, they were very receptive to what he was asking. And Michelle thought it was great that, oh, he's kicking me out of the room right now to have a serious talk with them. Michelle was excited about that.
Yeah.
Even though she didn't reciprocate the L-bomb, she was very excited. And I think that says a lot about Brandon, the fact that he plays with this childlike enthusiasm. But on the flip side, he's very clearly serious about winning. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes him very endearing to other players, especially now that we're at the point in the tournament where there's other moving parts. Where he's meeting her family, she's meeting his family. Mm-hmm. It's a very endearing style of play. And that's why, guys, we've got a three-horse race. I truly believe we've got a three-horse race right now.
You ever seen a three-horse race, Duddy?
No.
Exactly.
I mean, in fairness, I haven't seen a two-horse race or any.
You never
sort
been
of
to the track?
Racing.
Ever in life? We'll go.
Santa Anita is a good time.
I'll take Santa Anita. Right, or Del Mar.
I like when the horses have at least eight the race have at least eight horses.
Yeah. It'd be weird if there's only three. Just odds wise. I think I respect your opinion, Wally, and I could see, I mean, obviously it's gonna be a three horse race in the sense that there'll be three contestants in 2 weeks from now. But
because
like,
Rodney doesn't stand a chance.
No. I don't think I've ever felt as much like I've never had less odds on a wild card slot than on this one. Like, it is insane how little of a chance he has.
It's funny. I actually think Rodney had his best performance of the season
this week. No, he's like he stumbled his way backwards into a wild card spot for sure.
Yeah,
I was blown away the fact that he got it over Olu and over special and Rick especially. It's just crazy how much the pack is pulled away from him though.
Yeah, I mean, he's a distant fourth in the AP polls right now, and it's understandable. I mean, he has nothing to be ashamed about. He has played a great tournament from start to finish. I feel like he's been punching above his weight this entire time. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely the type of player I would love to coach. Unfortunately for him, these other three guys have two things that he does not have. One of them is statistical, and that's bragging rights. Joe played one-on-one basketball with her on her high school court.
Yeah, it's huge.
Nate met her friends. Brandon is now the first one to have met her family. What box does Rodney have in that that they shoveled cow shit together?
Yeah, he put her in a wheelbarrow.
That they were in a wheelbarrow together. They're on a boat at one
point.
Not nothing. That's all he's got.
She did see him naked.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you put that in the bragging rights category? She was the first to see his butt, I guess.
I guess that's why they're intimate. Like in terms of just like getting to know you situations, I guess it's pretty high up there. But no,
okay,
I agree.
He was the first to flash the butch. I think it's more important to meet people in her inner circle.
Sure.
But yeah, she did see his butt cheeks. Yeah. But the other thing, and this is an intangible, he's not getting the gaze from her. Mm. Michelle she says a lot with her eyes and her body language. We saw it as soon as Clayton walked out of the hotel last night. Her eyes were wide. She was keeping him at arm's length with her body language. And I knew from the beginning that he didn't have a chance with her.
Yeah.
When she is really into the guy, she nestles in and looks at them with these, like, Nala looking at Simba during Can You Feel the Love Tonight eyes. Mm-hmm. Where it seems like she's already, like, planning ahead for the fantasy suite.
Yeah.
She doesn't look at Rodney with those eyes. She looks at the other three guys like
that. No, yeah, not at all. And you know what, man? I'll talk about it more in our bonus content after this. But I really like Rodney as a person, as a competitor.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he... And I know we don't talk about looks on this show a lot on purpose, and I think... But I think it'd be a miss to not bring it up a little bit with him that, like, he has scored one for the regular guys this season. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
a great
point. Folks
yeah.
that aren't ripped, especially on a field that had a lot of ripped guys on it and personal trainers, a guy who came in there with ostensibly a dad bod with maybe not the best skin and just like kind of like an aw shucks attitude, for him to make it all the way to the Final Four, man, I think it's a boon to guys like Duddy and other people around the world. It's just,
listen,
you know,
I take it, man. Rodney. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for
he's a giant
for paving the way.
I think a lot of people are going to be standing on the shoulders of years from now to come. So that's all I wanted to say.
He's the patron saint of the Bachelor Zone.
That's right. Yeah, or at least Bachelor Zone looking men getting on the Bachelor, the Bachelorette.
Look, Rodney, I salute you, my man. But yeah. I think it's kind of funny. I feel like as far as Rodney goes, Brandon feels like her middle school boyfriend, mm-hmm. Joe, the high school boyfriend, and Nate, the college boyfriend.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And Rodney, I think maybe he's the one you settle down with in the second marriage, you know, when you're looking for comfort, but she's not
really,
there yet.
He's going to be a really nice stepdad one day.
Yeah, he looks like
the fun uncle at the wedding.
Yeah.
I could see that. Just a sweet, sweet stepdad to some like older teenage kids.
Brandon literally looks like her middle school boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He like fit in with the kids.
Yeah. Their vibe is essentially a student. Yeah, man. I mean, I liked it. I know we'll talk more about these kids later on, but you could also see it with them too. None of them really gave. I thought Rodney was going to be a huge hit with them, and he did fine. He wasn't bad. It wasn't like how Martin got the treatment, but like, you know, to have Clayton really be the one that shined in that event and not Rodney, I was like, that's the one thing that you should be good at, man, is like that endearing teddy bear, you know, hanging out with the kids stuff. And yeah, it's okay.
I feel like the refs, though, they were like, you know, like handing out candy, you know. It was like
literally in the limousine, it was loaded with it.
Yeah, for like, you know, like, hey, up Clayton, you know.
Oh,
just
I see. Yeah,
you know, like I feel like
That was them
the
training
vibe.
The children?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. They were like little birds-ing in Game of Thrones. Like, you know, it was just...
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, let's get into Clayton, the other big headline from last night. If mainstream media reports and Michelle's students are to be believed, week six also gave us our last look at Clayton before the next time we see him, when he's our next Bachelor. His group date performance last week, it had us all curious, what is he going to bring to the table from a narrative standpoint when he has his inevitable one-on-one? And we got our answer, and it turns out to be not all that much outside of mild confidence issues. So, guys, is this a player who – give me your requiem for Clayton. Is this a player who simply waited too long to put his foot on the gas pedal, or is he a victim of not – is he a victim of having a lackluster sob story?
I think a little bit of both, to be honest. Not to keep putting on my tinfoil hat here, though, but I think a lot of this – the fact that he got this far and he got to wild card week in the way he did, I think a lot of it has to do with where they wanted him to end up, right? Like how they want him to be the Bachelor. This is like as best a take they could give him. They didn't want Michelle to waste a hometown spot on him, but they wanted to show him as like this lovable guy. I know a lot of people are yapping out there on Twitter right now about Big Kelsey and Big Jaylene being the ones. we were thinking it was like, you know, like a Big Tobacco type cabal where it was Mike Fleiss and all these people who were planning to put this milquetoast white guy in for the next Bachelor. It ended up being these two little masterminds. These two little kids is what a lot of people are saying. A lot of the chatter is. I don't know if I fully subscribe to that, but something to think about. The fact that they were the only ones kind of tooting his horn at the end of the day, I think it was surprising to me because Michelle seemed to like, I thought he would for sure have a hometown spot, right? At least. I thought he was going to get through wild card week, especially with the way the date went and stuff. And then just at the end of the date, I guess, I mean, the editing, they had those like silent moments and whatnot, but I can't believe the way he communicates and the jokes and how quick he seems and on his feet he seems that he couldn't come up with something to talk about, you know, even if it's not a sob story, at least some, you know, tell some jokes or talk about the future. You know, it's okay if you don't have trauma in your past. It's just like you need to bring something to the table in terms of like opening up. I can't believe that he doesn't have that. And I'm wondering if they did and they just saved it. And she's just, it's just an intangible thing that she didn't even want him to get past week four. They're like, I think we want this guy to be our next Bachelor. Please keep him around. Take some one-on-one time with him.
I think he kind of had a sob story. He definitely talked about, you know, I think confidence issues are nothing to sneeze at, really. Mm-hmm. You know,
unless you're allergic to him.
Unless you are allergic to them. That's a good point, Zach. Thank you.
Medical tip of the week.
Yeah. Want to be safe out there. It's getting into flu season. I want everyone to be safe.
I think that's one of our sponsors. Medical tip of the week. I don't know if I'm sold on the sob story though being, you know, the only thing that this guy was missing. I think that there was also just some chemistry issues, right? I think he struggled to find a good matchup with Michelle. He struggled to get his touches in. He, you know, won certain date events, and I think that was great. And I don't know if, you know, him being 5 or 6 or 7, that feels about right for the type of competitor he is. Like, I don't think he's bad, you know? I think that for him to be a more complete player, I think what's frustrating is that I think the game in our world, right, in the real world, the game has evolved, right? And to just be, you know, a muscled up guy who, you know, says the right things and is nice with kids, I think is still a great thing. And it's going to get you far in most competitions in life. But even on The Bachelor, you know, I think the refs still have this old school mindset, but you know, the leads, like I think someone like a Rodney, for instance, yes, he didn't do so well with the kids, but he did so well with Michelle. Mm-hmm. And he was goofy and fun and, you know, accessible in a way that Clayton wasn't, you know? And I think all of the guys, I actually think who lasted, except for maybe Joe, had a sense of humor about them. Mm-hmm. And had an air of ease that Clayton might have tried to have, but wasn't natural to him, in my opinion.
I'm going to put my tinfoil hat back on. I think when they went to that Natural History Museum, he saw all those dinosaurs and stuff, and he let it slip that he doesn't believe in evolution. And her inner teacher was just like, nope, shut it down.
Wow, that's a deep cut theory.
Well, we'll see next year.
I mean, if Michelle's student Jaylene was the Bachelorette,
yeah,
Clayton would have won this tournament running away. Yeah, like, oh my God, what she was like, we were watching her go through puberty on national TV, like the child from Two and a Half Men, like a national TV spotlight in front of our very, I love how she just pointed her nail polish toward the center field fence like Babe Ruth. And was just like, this is our next Bachelor.
Yep.
And Fleiss and the boys were like, yeah, you know what? That's good enough for me.
I think that's what, I know we were spending so much time this whole season talking about it, but it'd be so funny if that's kind of what happened. Like during this week of filming, they were like, man, this kid is responsible for so much. We're trying to get to the younger demographics.
Yeah. we got to please the 10 to 12 crowd.
This is a sign. They walk back in that like production room where like Fleiss is on the floor, like throwing chicken bones on the ground, trying to figure out what to do next. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? I think we got it. These little kids got it.
I subscribe to that belief too, in a sense. Like I'm not so cynical about it. I'm
sincere.
I'm a sincere believer in everything. But I could see a world in which, you know, the producers saw that story develop right before their eyes and then said, hey, like, we've got this, and really rubbed themselves off about it. You know, really got like, oh my God, people are going to love this. What if we did this? You know, what if we did that? Everyone's going to be so stoked when they see this, you know, this little kid say this. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it was that they were like chasing a demographic. I think they thought they found a good story. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they do when they try to produce the show. They try to tell stories that they think are good. And I think just the problem is that they have a disconnect with what good stories are, you know, at least to us.
But you know what, though? When I watched him go up to the kids and say, let's build a fort. And the kids were so excited about it. And they climbed in the fort and he had them ask the questions under there. I was like, I don't know exactly what that's good for. But there's something there. There's something there with this guy that's workable and that can be crafted into something compelling when he becomes the Bachelor. Unfortunately, with Michelle, she's like that job interviewer who asked the question, what's your biggest weakness? That's her. She's Miss Vulnerability.
I mean, she literally did that on this episode to right. Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's looking for that. And she went into this date looking for that and hoping for that spark to come from that very question.
So you think it's a sob story?
Well, I agree with you that confidence issues, it's definitely nothing to sneeze at. And he could have made that into something compelling. The mistake that he made, this was the biggest crime he committed last night, was he said, you know, I walked into this tournament with those confidence issues and it's already been fixed. I was at a 90%. Now I am at 100% because of you. That, to me, it reminded me of a team that's mediocre for the entire season. And then they win their last game of the season going into the playoffs. And they say, oh, well, now we've got it figured out.
Yeah.
Like, I know we were mediocre before. We didn't show you much before. But in a very short amount of time, like, we showed you that we got this under control. And you think, even if you're rooting for the team, deep down, you're like, no, you don't. And you're going to get exposed in the playoffs. And so that's the mistake that I think that he made. What I can't figure out is, this is a guy who played Division I college football, presumably wanted to go to the NFL, didn't make it. Why don't you make that the storyline? Why don't you say, you know what, being a football player, it was my identity. Mm-hmm. And then that was taken away from me and I had to figure out who I was.
Yeah.
That very narrative from Joe Coleman had her in tears a couple weeks ago. Why not go down that same path?
Well, someone already took it. Also, before we dissect it, because I do want to get back to that, but as you bring that up, was it just me or did he say that he wanted to go to the NBA?
Clayton?
Am I misremembering that? When he was
he was talking about pursuing his MBA for business.
Oh. I thought he said no. Okay. Well,
no. That would be pretty gutsy for a college football player to be like, you know what? Yeah. I think the next step's basketball. Yeah, there's no game tape on me.
No, he wants to go into finance.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No. That clears it up. Okay. So anyway, excuse me. Back to what you were talking about with his lack of confidence. Or with him telling that story. Yeah, I think that Joe already took it and you could, you know, and it was already a grand slam. And I think you're...
But that's the land of plenty, though, Daniel A. And if it's true to you, you can play it. It's not like if one person says, it's like, oh, I can't do that now.
I think that's kind of true. I think if someone has that card and plays it better than you, then I think you got to find a way to be different.
Okay, so what if, let's say your father passed away tragically, and yes. Then the guy went on a date the week before informs Michelle that his father passed away tragically. Do you say to yourself, oh man, I was going to bring that up, but I can't do that now because someone else said that? No, of course not.
I disagree. I think if you are someone who's, you know, lived a life and you're a multidimensional player and you might have a second sob story. You know, in your back pocket.
You would hope for, for this tournament. You'd hope so.
You know, I mean, I guess you're right. If you are so blessed that you truly can't find something that happened, you know, where, and I agree with you, Wally, on your analysis. I think you totally nailed it on the, like, hit the nail on the head, excuse me, that by him saying, well, yes, I do have this sob story, but don't worry, I fixed it. no longer a sob story. I think that was his problem. I think to say, like, hey, I have these confidence issues, and it's really hard for me, and, you know, at the I found myself getting emotional, even though I know that, the refs were completely manipulating me. I still felt myself getting emotional seeing him read that letter that those children wrote for him. You know, he has those things. Everyone does. But he just couldn't access it, you know? So, yeah, I think that, you know, when you get on this show, I think you actually run into a problem when you pick multiple sob stories. We've seen that happen before. On Peter's season, who was that girl you really liked? I think that's what got her that's what sent her home, was that she had a sob story, and then she pivoted to three more sob stories in one conversation.
Oh, Sydney, yeah. Sydney. She dumped like five sob stories into one date, yeah, right. And then she had nothing left.
Right. I think the key is you get one sob story that you build your identity on, and then maybe you have something else to be like, hey, look, there's more to me here, right? But I think it's up to you to really pick what that is and really craft it and make it authentic and real. You know, don't, you know, if we're playing this game to the fullest, you know, but like as humans, we should have multiple things we can access, you know, of sadness or things to work on. And
that made us sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can all agree the thing that Clayton screwed up and what made him eventually the bachelor or the next bachelor is the fact that he has both his parents alive.
I think we're all on the same page.
That's where we landed? Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah, what a horrible weakness to have going into.
Really fucked up, my man.
No, he answered, no. He answered, well, my weakness, I have no weaknesses, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, is that, and that's always a really bad interview answer, I think,
yeah.
too.
He's going to be a terrible bachelor.
Yeah,
I'm going to Babe Ruth it right now. I think it's going to be I think he's going to kind of suck in the way that sort of Matt James sucked, in the way like of just not really having a whole lot. I mean, Matt James, looking back on it, was not as bad as Pilot Peter or whatever, like that kind of thing. I would see him going more the way of Pilot Peter in terms of like just waffling on stuff. And I don't know, man.
Could you imagine if we had like someone like Rodney as the Bachelor? Like, take a freaking risk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do something like
Olu, shit. He'd be cool. Like he's like definitive enough of a person, like in terms of just like his takes and stuff.
He just never had a signature moment.
Can we talk about this? Yeah.
It'd also be fun to show like a Nigerian wedding on The Bachelor.
For sure, yeah.
Online, yeah. Okay. I know this is going, we're diverging, but
sure.
Online, I feel like there's a lot of love for Olu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it, man. I'm with you. Well, I don't think he had a signature moment really. And I think he ended the show by doing the tattletale move. You know, he might have done it in a nice way or a good way, but I don't want to see him as the Bachelor. I would rather see Rodney. I'd rather see someone where there's more depth to them, I think, in what they showed on the field.
Will that move from Olu be one of our candidates for Steal of the Night? We're going to be talking about that next. We'll get into all things swats, deflections, box steps, and down hard, gritty defense with Steal of the Night. This is the Steal of the Night. Steal of the Night this week brought to you by the Minneapolis Museum of Science, where romance goes to die. Zach, a lot of great defensive play this week as we have these guys battling for those final four positions. Who gets your Steal of the Night?
I didn't want to make fun of you too hard, but that was such an aggressively powerful segue that we just pulled off.
Yeah,
I didn't want to like break the momentum by bringing it up, but good God, that was something. That was something else. I got to give it to...
We'll talk more about it on Left Unsaid.
That's right. Yeah, that's bonus content is what's happening. You could feel that. He wanted to put the lid on that scoop that was about to be broken. I got to give it to the person who... So, I mean, we all say Martin took the villain mantle in the final stretches here. We've had, three villains, arguably four villains this season.
Mm-hmm.
Martin was the final one. He was kind of the final boss of this, of Michelle's Game of Love. I think the fact that he was so easily called out at the beginning of this and raked over the coals by someone who I think maybe one of the greatest children defensive players we've ever seen. And I'm talking about Jaylene.
Yeah.
Jaylene completely just shut him down.
Like, Jaylene came to play,
man,
on both sides of the ball.
The fact that she went in so hard against Martin, I think is, I don't know if it's, you can't say, that a lot of people won't want to draw a direct line between that moment and the moment that he's on the couch getting razzed by Michelle and getting completely eviscerated and you know, having all his true colors shown. But I'm going to draw that line right now. Do an air draw line right now. Drawing those two things together. Because I think the fact that, like, dogs and little kids can smell that level of just, like, shitty misogynistic bullshit on somebody. I think he knew. That's why he was smiling whenever he was cold-faced lying for the rest of the episode, because he's like, I am so caught. Like, I am so fucked. Like, he knew the edit that he was going to get in this episode, and it all started with Jaylene's play. It was really, really good stuff.
Yeah, she could smell bullshit, and she could smell his bad cologne, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
She said he wears too much cologne. My second favorite line of the night was her saying he wears too much cologne. My first favorite was Luke saying, you know, this fort that Clayton built, it's probably the most impressive fort I've seen.
He's like a Vader of forks.
I've been playing in forts for about 6 or 7 years now, and this is by far the most impressive.
Man, I hope that Luke kid is going to go places when he gets older. I really like Luke. I had the same speech impediment as Luke when I was a child.
Oh, did you? Yep. Okay.
Wonderful.
What is the impediment?
It's kind of like the Elmer Fuddy, kind of like, oh, well, when I was blah, blah, blah. Like, aww, it's like a little baby talk. Adorable.
The R's become W's. It's very endearing.
It's
yeah.
cute until you're 12. And then you got to shut it down.
But yeah, all four of those kids really came to play. Daniel, who gets your steal of the night this week?
Oh, man. I got to give it to them, too. Zach bringing that up. Yeah, it reminded me one time I did go on a date and everything was going perfect. And I, you know, everything was going nice. We're on our way home to the car, and then a dog's walking by and it just goes wild on me, and that was it.
Yeah,
it was over. Steal of the night went to the dog that night.
Wait, man. Like jumping on your crotch and stuff like that?
No, just giving me side eye, barking, you know. And she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And shut that shit down. That dog was like, no.
No. Don't fuck with this guy.
That guy sucks.
Yeah.
And you know what? The dog might have been right. I don't know. But I that's Zach, I think you hit it, man. Like when a kid or a dog, you know, you just
calls you out.
That's the ultimate steal. There's nothing you could do.
Yeah.
And it's like a game of whammy, you know? It's just there's like whenever they want, they can just shut it down. And it without, you know, it could be random. It could be intentional. It doesn't matter.
I think it's always like a canary in a coal mine, right? Or a six-year-old in a coal mine. I guess not like a six-year-old in a coal mine. Like a canary in a coal mine. They just know when that gas is in there.
The animals can really play a part in these things, too, because on the milking the cow date, Michelle even said, she said, I'm keeping an eye out for which of these guys get along with the calves the best.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, yeah, they seem like they're the choice. Joe is the choice of the calves, so that makes me trust him more.
Like what is that? Yeah, I guess so, right? I feel like almost, I don't know, man. I wouldn't trust a calf. I feel like the people that they're into would maybe be the bad guy. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think there's like actually, you know, it's kids, it's dogs. If you go to a psychic, I think that's always a bad move for a date. Never want to go to a psychic. They're going to.
That has a 0% success rate.
Yeah. They're going to fuck that up real quick. Either end, they're either going to say, oh, you're going to get married, and then it's way too much pressure. It's like, oh, this is not the one for you, you know, immediately.
Or they say that you're going to meet someone important real soon, and you're like, well, what the fuck? I'm sitting right here.
It's rough. It's rough stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, got to go to them, though. Those kids.
Anything to spook anybody.
Those kids
are
sick. And not to, you know, completely shell out Ahmed, the other kid with the glasses. I think he did a good job of just kind of checking people, too. I'm sure he didn't have good feelings about Martin.
I think it seemed like he was kind of the good cop, and then Jaylene and Kelsey were playing bad cop.
He was
cop,
softening him up a little bit, and then
exactly.
Jaylene going for the kill.
I'm satisfied with the kids winning this. They're definitely A-plus students. My nominee, I think this has got to be second place or steal of the night at least, was Nate tried to pull this classic move of faking an injury or at least embellishing an injury during a group date activity, which is a smart move because in this case, not only does it get you out of shoveling shit, but also it gives you a little more extra one-on-one time with the bachelorette. Rodney saw that from a mile away and he said, I'm not letting that happen. Publicly criticizes Nate and says, hey, Nate, you're trying to get out of your responsibilities right now. Get back in there. And then gets Michelle in the wheelbarrow. And vultures a kiss. And vultures a trip to the smoocheria when Nate was locked in with her. That's an amazing defensive play right there.
I thought that was great, too.
And it goes to, even though Rodney is, he's a distant fourth in the polls right now, he's still playing really good ball. And that's a really good example of that. And it is going to be worth it for him to continue to play his best game. Because if any one of these three guys pulls a Greg Grippo, then he's going to fantasy suites. And it's a whole new ball game, and he's right back in there.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Who's pulling Greg Grippo's at this moment, though? I feel like the folks we got there, I guess.
Most likely, I think it would be Joe.
It would have to be a Joe, right? Yeah. I don't know, man. It's tricky.
Well, it's definitely a great night for all four of these guys who are going off to the Final Four for hometowns, but it wasn't a great night for everybody. We're going to be talking about that next as we hand out the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to, in Mayor of Choketown.
Hear ye, hear ye. I pronounce thee the Mayor of Choketown.
Mayor Choketown is brought to you by Milking the Cow. Hold your head steady. So a lot of pressure at this point, right before the Final Four. Not everyone handles it well. DA, let's start with you. Who gets you keys to the city this week?
So the obvious answer is Martin, and I'm sure we'll talk about him in this segment. But I also want to bring up Joe, actually, because I think that this week was the week that this no longer was a battle for second place. I think there are legitimate shots at the crown, and I think, you know, they're coming from Nate, but I really think the level of play has been elevated by everyone. Except for Joe. I feel like he's resting on his laurels. I feel like these guys are watching the pod because they're doing exactly what we've coached them to do, or what we've been saying. You know, they're giving, you know, they're emphasizing avenues or skill sets that Joe doesn't have, right? They're being funny and they're stealing time, and they're, you know, Joe's busy churning butter and going, look, I'm the best at churning butter. And Nate's like, who cares if I can churn butter? I'm going to churn some smooches out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rodney, same thing. You know, like, mm-hmm.
Throw this woman in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Brandon, same thing. You know, they're being funny. They're being casual. They're being playful. They're being very, very playful. Joe is very, very serious. And I think, you know, sometimes, yeah, I think back on my short-lived wrestling career. Sometimes all it takes to win is a good single leg takedown. You could have one move and you could use that single leg takedown and you could become a national champion. If you're just really good at that single leg takedown. And I think Joe is. He's really good at being tall.
Mm-hmm. Or like Mariano Rivera, just having that one pitch that he does perfectly over and over again.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you become the greatest closer of all time. But sometimes you need a few more moves in your arsenal. Sometimes to be a complete player, you know, you have some counters. You throw some change-ups. You know, you have a double leg takedown, right? And if you're able to switch things up, you might beat the guy who only has one trick up his sleeve. So I think they're doing that, and I think because Joe seems unwilling to change up his strategy in any way, I think he's looking kind of average right now.
What was your catchphrase when you came out of the tunnel for wrestling?
They didn't really do that. Duddy's coming to town.
Oh, you mean like WWE?
Yeah.
No,
they didn't do that.
I thought that was the thing.
Well, if the games happen around Christmas, that's not bad.
Yeah. I think they're called matches, and yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. That'd be fun.
You know,
I had a signature move. I had my...
What was your signature move?
It was the duck under, so yeah. It was the Duddy duck.
The Duddy duck.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Wow.
That was
how many years
move.
Are we talking here that you... wrestled?
I wrestled for a really long time, from second grade to sophomore year.
Wow.
Can wrestle for some Patreon content.
And then I hung up the... And I was decent. Wrestling was my most successful sport. I just hated it. But I think at some point I was 12th in the state.
Wow.
Well, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
Mm-hmm.
The state was New Jersey. Though,
the state
right?
of New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. No, but that was a good wrestling state. And, yeah. And granted, it was something like, you know, seventh grade. So it wasn't like I was in high school, 12th. You know what I mean?
I picture a lot of mean dads in garages in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Trying to get their kids to lose, to get to weight or whatever.
That was my dad. Yeah. I hated wrestling, but I was decent.
I want to film the Duddy Duck and then put it up on our Patreon. I think that's good bonus content.
I could do that. We could do that, right after this pod.
Yep.
Zach, what you got for Mayor Choketown this week?
I mean, Duddy teased it a little bit. I'd be remiss to not give it to Martin. I was talking so much shit. I was explaining how Jaylene, you know, set him up so that Michelle could finally come knock the man down. I haven't seen someone implode this bad on his own laurels in years. I think someone who... has such bad takes. I think Luke P is the last person that comes to mind of someone who has such like bad takes and poor communication skills.
And it's just that unsavory.
And unsavory and just sticks by it all. And it's just like unapologetically that bad guy person, you know, just is as bad as we think he is. And even in the limo ride at the end of it, when he's been walked out, he's still sticking by his guns. I think Luke P did the exact same thing. And the act, it's like sociopath stuff where they act like, I don't know what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... anyone, a 6-year-old could tell what you did wrong. You know what I mean? So the fact that he did it, it was just like a masterclass of what not to do, that last few moments of them talking together. And he was interrupting. He was like, he did all the sort of gaslighty things of like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Maybe this, you know, yada, yada. Man, it was bad. And he could have easily, you know, taken it. I was bummed out that Olu didn't get the rose, because I think people are going to take the kids watching this, trying to get their own game happening, playing high school ball and stuff, are going to maybe get the wrong lesson from this, that like snitching is not the way to go. Because I think that was a perfect example of when snitching did work. It worked great, took him out. It bummed me out that Martin took Olu with him, because if Olu would have stuck around, it would have at least shown like, you know, that is how you should do it. It was weird that he still went home. It's just the nature of where in the season we were, I think, is what would cause that, and that hometowns were next. But like, if this happened a week ago, I think Olu would have been safe, and I think it would have been a perfect thing and a perfect time to drop a bomb, because it's such a clear thing where he did something that was so egregious and clear cut, and, you know, just shutting it down so that Michelle can be like, did you say this thing? Like, this thing that is on camera? Like, and he says no, like, he would have been done for. If she would, even if she would have believed him, she could have checked the tape. I think she probably did check the tape.
I loved the move that Olu pulled last night.
Yeah.
Because he recognized this, how many games were left on the schedule, how many minutes he had left. Mm-hmm. And he knew, oh shit, she's about to choose her hometown dates, whose family member she meets, and I haven't had a one-on-one date with her yet. There is no future for me in this tournament. Mm-hmm. So the best thing I can do, if the opportunity is there, mm-hmm. is protect the queen on my way out the door.
He's like Gandalf. He's like, run, you fools.
And he's thinking to himself, if I see something or hear something that could be dangerous to Michelle's chances of walking away from this happy, then I'm going to tell her about it. Because why not? There's no future for me anyway.
That's true.
So yeah, why not try to take someone out on the way out the door? And then Martin, he's so set in his ways, and all those ways lead to self-combustion.
Yeah.
And he... I mean, I'm going to get into him in a second, but first of all, I'd be remiss not to nominate a deputy mayor of Choketown. I usually prefer when the referees swallow the whistle and let the players play. However, in that museum last night, when Michelle and Clayton were playing tag, mm-hmm. and Michelle said, I'm it, and Clayton's running away, and she knew she couldn't catch him, and she said, oh, no, wait a second, you're it, actually. That was such an egregious blown call. Someone needed to step in and say, oh, no, you are it until you tag him.
You're just sitting there waiting for the yellow flag to fly out and nothing happened.
And then it never happened. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which is unacceptable. But luckily for the referees, Martin somehow stuck around for another week despite his abysmal performance last week. And he did everything wrong. I mean, first of all, he brought up Michelle being insecure and being immature. Even if that is how you feel, why would you ever let that come out of your mouth in the locker room?
Yeah.
What good does that do you?
With the cameras on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
If he had genuine concerns, the best thing he could have done was sit down with Michelle and say, here's what I'm concerned about. But then just to put a target on your back like that and give everyone else material to work with to take you down, how can you let that happen this late in the game? Mm-hmm. Not only that, but all the way to the end, he refused to take any accountability. Nothing was his fault. No mistake was he accountable for. And then finally, when Michelle was starting to realize this and was gearing up to send him home, he took a time machine back to the Elizabethan era and said, no, wait, my love. And she goes, no, my love. That's not good. You know, the only thing worse than using my love as a Hail Mary desperation play is when you cut the person off to drop it.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
That's rough.
And that's why this is one of the worst Mayor Choketown performances of this season.
Yeah, I mean, of the franchise. I mean, it's really terrible work that he's done. And we really, really went in on personal trainers last week on our bonus episode. But I can't help but think, like, man, this seems to be a pattern that we're seeing. A lot of these guys, there's like two kinds of personal trainers. There's like the really, really laid back ones who are into calisthenics and aren't super jacked. And then there's dudes with bleach tips who are just unapologetically problematic, and I don't know how they keep getting through the cracks.
And Martin is absolutely in the latter category. Yeah. It ticks every single box there. So he's gone. We got four people left. Let's take one last look at them. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 134 over to Pasadena? It's Ringrosa Road. Ring Rosa Road this week brought to you by the abandoned Golden Flower Factory Mill. Every rose begins with golden flower. So, guys, we got our final four. Let's take a look at the tale of the tape with these guys. Number four is Rodney, 29 years old, a sales rep from Rancho Cucamonga. Zach, Ring Rosa Road for him. Does he have any shot?
I mean, we harped on it pretty hard earlier. It'd be weird to give him even a rose. No, he's a road fella. He's heading home. I think he's a great guy. I think he is the last of the, you know, stick around just for fun. It's going to be him and Brandon getting slowly chopped off. And then the final two weeks that we have, it's just going to be Nate and Joe running to the finish line is what I say.
Boo, I say. Dude, I thought this was his best performance.
That should have been your wrestling catchphrase.
Ladies and gentlemen, boo, I say.
Boo, I say.
That's funny.
And then I'm like a Luigi's Mansion boo. Mm-hmm. Just come in.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Back to Rodney. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, disagree with me or what? What's happening here?
Oh, right. I disagree with you. I felt like he had a ring performance, man. He established one. You know, we talked about the wheelbarrow stuff. We talked about the smooches. He had a lot of smooches coming in today with Rodney. He had a smooch where he enveloped her entire mouth with his mouth. You know?
That's a positive?
Probably not, but it shows he's trying. And sure. I'll say this. He had a secret handshake with her.
Yeah. I thought that was fun. He was even commented on with the other guys, too.
I've had a hard time deciding, is that a good or a bad thing? Is that a...
I think because they close it with a smooch, it's not a bad thing. I don't know if it's a good thing, but it's not a bad
thing. Why would it be a bad thing?
It's just super friend-zoney, I think, if it's just a handshake.
Exactly. But before that one last night where he got the trip to the smoochery, I was like, oh, this is such a friendship thing that he's doing.
Mm-hmm. That's like a work wife. That's like a coworker move. You know what I mean? That's not a...
Yeah. Catch you later, bestie.
Yeah. But having that smooch at the end, I think it changes it.
I think it's cute flirting. I don't know. So, I don't know. Maybe if you believe in the handshake like I do, then I think it's a ring performance. If you're not sold in the handshake, maybe it's a rose or a road.
And also, based on the footage, it looks like the game is going to take place on a vineyard, which has the potential to be a really romantic setting.
The final game, you mean?
No, Rodney and Michelle's upcoming hometown date looks like it's like he's gonna take her to a vineyard and they're gonna frolic around.
I'm trying to think of which vineyard he was going to. Maybe Temecula. They're gonna take him down. Banjo Cucamonga, I can't imagine has. Maybe there might be a little one out there.
Oh, we got the vineyard Angeles expert over here.
Not far from it.
I'm trying to think of where
every vineyard in California.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's an apple orchard.
came out right when I got left. Came out of high school. no, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rancho Cucamonga is sort of a famously in the urban rural interface, but I'm not sure.
It seems like they're in some kind of open field with crops, and they're going to frolic together. It looks like there could be some romance with that.
For people who aren't familiar with the Eastern San Gabriel Valley or whatever, Rancho Cucamonga is down the 10, but it's essentially just like saying you live in Los Angeles. It's like if someone was from a Buena Park or a Santa Clarita or a Simi Valley.
You still wouldn't also be familiar with.
No, but you know that if you've known someone from those areas, they live in Los Angeles.
Right? So he likes the Lakers and the Dodgers,
yeah,
basically.
He lives in, you know, the Bronx. Yeah, he lives in New York, but he lives in Westchester, essentially.
Gotcha.
Rancho Cucamonga. That's the Rancho Cucamonga.
I love it.
Yeah. Made famous in the movie Friday After Next. If you guys ever watched
where
they get the big track house, that's famously in Rancho Cucamonga, where they kind of move on up.
Yeah.
Rodney needs two things. He needs to play the game of his life, and he needs someone to self-combust. Mm. And that's a tough spot to be in where you need both of those things to happen. But we have seen stranger things in this tournament. Number three, we have Brandon. He is 26 years old from Portland, a traveling nurse recruiter. Unfortunately, this is very sad. His most valuable player is not going to be able to play in the game as his grandfather passed away recently. Mm. But it seems like he does have a good relationship. Based on his bringing it up anyway, it seems like he's still really close with his mom and his brother and his family. I got the charm bracelet going too. Daniel A, Ring Rose or Road for Brandon?
I mean, early on in the episode, I called it a road, and now I'm kind of softening up on it. And, you know, I think there was a lot of things he did really well. I loved his performance. I loved his car play, right? He was so stoked about her driving. He was so stoked about the cul-de-sac. He, you know, reached over for the cross seat smooch. And he's always so psyched to get to the smoocheria, which I think sometimes could be, I would think, you know, having not seen that so much on the show before, would think it could be a turnoff. But I think Michelle loves it. I think she's stoked that someone's so stoked to be smooching her so hard. And I think just his boundless enthusiasm for the game has really carried him far. And you know what? On the one hand, I think, yes, I don't see him, you know, lasting. I actually think there's a shot that Rodney upsets Brandon and takes number three. Because right now I think it's a battle between third and fourth, and then it's a battle between first and second. But maybe not. And I think, you know, we're giving Rodney a lot of credit for making it as far as he did. But I actually also think there's something to be said for giving Brandon a lot of credit for making it as far as he has, you know.
Because so much of it was just pure effort with Brandon.
So much of it was pure effort. And this is a game where, you know, it really is, this season has been a lot like basketball. It feels like there's been a premium placed on height. And, you know, they're up against these two giants right now. So.
Short pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But I do think the charm bracelet was a clutch little touch on the way out the door, though, because
that was a good move. I haven't seen that before, and it was nice to be like, oh, this is how, this is a signal that means you're gonna, it's also good for her confidence, right? To be like that, to for them to like you as much as I do, whatever.
Well, we saw it done poorly on Paradise when Chasen gave DeAndra that, like,
oh, that's different, though.
It's that, not, like, Daddy Kane.
No, yeah, like, to link, that ice. No. To link it to, like, a family thing at Hometowns, I think, was a smart move. That was cool.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that was interesting. That was a nice move, you know. That should be something that's copied in the future.
Yep. Sentimental in a great way, poignant, and something, and it's a leave behind. Because he can't be with her the whole time.
It's kind of like giving a little kid, like, a magical cape that only they can see. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, when you wear this, nothing's going to be a problem. You know what I mean? It's cute as shit.
And because of that, he's firmly at number three, knocking on the door of number two, which is Nate, as it has been for a long time, from Winnipeg, Manitoba, 27 years old, a sales executive. Zach, ring rose or road for Nate after winning this group date rose on the farm date?
You know, I was about to give him a ring just because I think it'll be down to him and Joe at the end. Like I said, smart money. But then you just reminded me that he's from Canada. And now, I don't know if it's just the news that we've been getting lately about Canadians or you know, just all the trials and tribulations of dating someone from Canada. I don't know. That is kind of a red flag. And I'm going to have to maybe demote him down to a ring. I think he's going to be there. Or I'm sorry, Rose. I think he's going to be there, but I don't think he's going to be the one putting the ring on the finger.
You know, Canada does have a red flag.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
you put two
makes
and two
sense
together. Yeah.
Hey, they're trying to tell us something. Justin Trudeau and his peeps.
But that being said, though, I think it says a lot about the rhythm that he is in right now. That going into this farm date, Joe was the number one seed. He's been the favorite, and his grandparents owned the dairy farm, so it was right in his wheelhouse. And yet, despite all those things going against Nate, somehow it was not Joe. It was Nate who walked away with that rose. It shows you that's been the challenge for him this whole time, is knowing that Joe is number one and what are other ways that I can outmaneuver him. And that's been the challenge for Nate to figure out. And it seems like he's figuring out those ways. It certainly seemed like that last night, which is, even though he's at number two, I absolutely think he's got a shot at the ring. He's going to have to take down number one, Joe. Daniele, I'll give you the last word. He's from Minneapolis. The cameras are just going to stay there while they do their hometown date. So he's probably going to be the leadoff hitter for this. Real estate developer, 28 years old. Been number one for a long time now. Is he going to stay there?
I gave him the road this episode. And you know what? I'm starting to think that he might get upset by Nate. I really do. I could see, because I feel like, you know, there's just some holes in his game. Like, he's not playing. He has so many advantages. I mean, if this player didn't literally, you know, already have, like, or if the lead didn't already have a crush on him coming in, would he be this far? You know, has he played a good game? I mean, even just him churning the butter, doing such a good job in the group date. And then Michelle going like, oh my God, I'm really impressed by, you know, how well you churn butter. And he goes, actually, you know, I grew up on a farm, so it's not a big deal. And, you know, he completely just, no, you got to sit in that, be like, yeah, you know, I'm the fucking man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like he just does not play a sound game. And I think partly it's because he doesn't want to be there. You know?
Possibly, yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I really think right now you've got Nate nipping at his heels. And I think Joe left the door wide open.
He committed that mistake we've seen so many times on The Bachelor before, where there is a dancing date and one of the women says, oh, I am or used to be an NBA dancer. So I'm going to crush this. And then they go all out and they make it about the activity as opposed to being about the lead.
Right.
And that's the what Joe did yesterday. That was the closest thing I've seen to someone making that mistake this season. So he's got to refocus. Mm-hmm. Make
what's
it,
his name with the poetry thing, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Chris
Early
G.
Chris G.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris
G.
is rough.
That's another nominee for that. Yeah. But yeah, Joe with really more of a Rose performance. The fact that the action is going to stay in Minneapolis, so he's going to get a ton of rest. And it seems like he's got a brilliant idea for this date of staging a prom. And as we've said, Michelle seems kind of in a high school crush mindset. So it seems like even though he had somewhat of an off night, it's definitely still his to lose. But always playing for the ring, our wonderful fans. Thank you so much for tuning in every week on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're there waiting for you, and we'd love to have you join. Thanks so much for rating us, reviewing us, telling your friends about us. It all helps us grow and become a better show. If you haven't left us a rating or a review, please consider doing so. It really helps us a lot and helps us rise up the charts. A very special thank you to our fans over at patreon.com. That's where you get our exclusive bonus content, including Left Unsaid. You get to call into your favorite Bachelor Zone segment, and you even get to guest host a bonus episode with us at some point. It's all happening over at patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Max Singer's got some family in town for the Thanksgiving holiday, so he couldn't join us tonight for our Fantasy Minute. But our Fantasy League is going really strong. Here's the update on the top five. In the number five spot, we've got BB at 1790 points. Number four, the Wicked Witch of the Northeast staying strong at 1870 points. And guys, much like this league, this fantasy league of ours, it's really mirrored what's going on in the actual show because we have Brandon potentially making this a three-horse race. And that's what we've got here on the Batch Live app too. Jessica Kayla, she's still playing really well, but she's dropped down to number three at 1945. Mm-hmm. She's been at number two this whole time. Zion with a huge night, jumping in there at number two with 2005 points. And then E-Box staying there at number one.
He's the Joe of the Fantasy League.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Or she.
And but yeah, E-Box took that number one spot, has a commanding lead with 2065, but still plenty of time, you know, a lot of games left to play. If you want to join or follow along, download the Batch Live app on your smartphone or mobile device. It's free to play, and it's a lot of fun.
And you get a free T-shirt from us.
The winner of this league is going to get a free T-shirt, yeah.
It's huge.
Huge stuff.
Yeah, a lot
possibly with a new logo on it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We don't want to make any promises.
No. It's going to be a t-shirt. That's fine. It'll say the Bachelor Zone on it.
But yeah. No, a lot of big stuff happening, though, if you play. So that's the Batch Live app. Always love to hear your hot takes on social media. If you want to reach us on Instagram or Twitter, our handle is @BachelorZonePod. If you want to email us, we're thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up anytime. We usually get back to you pretty quick, and we love to hear what you have to say, both about The Bachelor and about our show. Man, next week's going to be fun. We're hitting the road. We're not going to be stuck in some hotel in Palm Springs or something. We're traveling around the country again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun as this Final Four goes off. Going to be really competitive. I think we're going to see some great games are going to happen. Can't wait to have you join us for that. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.